Fine, so the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing in the case of Esther, the invitation that went out to the Gedolim and then the Ketanim. And we had different interpretations, obviously, on what the word Gedolim meant, what the word Ketanim meant. Then we discussed the order, why it said Gedolim first, then it said Ketanim, as opposed to other places where it says Ketanim first, then Gedolim. That's all the previous weeks. So really, we're taking a side route only because it's about to be Hanukkah, and the words Gedolim and Ketanim are very applicable in one place, so it's not really so much of an Esther share. We're just using the words Gedolim and Ketanim to discuss this interesting psukkim here. So in Halal, it says like this. Yivarech is Beis Yisrael. Yivarech is Beis Aaron. Yivarech Yirei Hashem. Haktanim im Magdalim. We're going to focus on that, obviously, Haktanim Magdalim. But before we understand what we're doing here, there's two main questions asked by the Rishonim. First of all, why does it say Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron? It doesn't say Beis Yirei Hashem. I guess that would be the best phrase to do it. Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron, and then doesn't say that. And why is Ketanim and Gedolim only written by Yirei Hashem? Why only there? And then the interpretation. What does it mean, Ketanim and Gedolim? What does it actually mean, Ketanim and Gedolim? So it's like, just push it, reading the words. What is Beis Yisrael, Beis Aaron, as opposed to Beis Yirei Hashem?
What is Yirei Hashem?
And what is Yirei Hashem? Oh, you're right. That's going to be, what is Yirei Hashem also? That will come into the answer, what Yirei Hashem means. There are definitely, I wouldn't say Rishonim that I found yet, but Achroinim, that definitely there are the words, Haktanim Magdalim, is referring back to all three. There's definitely some who say this. Then it would be very simple. So whatever, we still have to answer what Haktanim Magdalim means. And then why would it be Haktanim Magdalim? We're going above, but what does it mean, Haktanim Magdalim? Why stress Haktanim Magdalim? Wouldn't that be automatically included? Again, you know, again, someone says it. The Radak says not this way. The Radak says, he doesn't explain why necessarily. The Radak said the word base is interchangeable with Ketanim Gedolim. So the Radak is saying it's Yivarech is base Yisrael, and base could be Ketanim Gedolim. Yivarech is base Aaron, which could be Ketanim Gedolim. Yivarech Yirei Hashem, Ketanim Gedolim, which could be base. Now, it answers the first question of why it's different, but doesn't explain, okay, so why? Let it be the other way around. Let it say Yivarech is Yisrael, Ketanim Gedolim. Yivarech is base as Aaron, Ketanim Gedolim. So it's not really, what the Radak does, step one is, which is a chiddush, not everyone says, is that the word base and the word Ketanim Gedolim are equal to each other. They're the same exact thing. I don't know if you would have thought you're doing. And boom, we pick two of them, we pick the word base. I don't know why. Doesn't say. And one, we pick Ketanim Gedolim. So he's answering why does it say Ketanim Gedolim? So he's saying, oh, yeah, I have an answer. It means base, which is good, but he's not really answering the next question. The next one's, okay, so why do you separate it? Either do all three base or all three Ketanim Gedolim. Yes, they're the same phrase, but you know, one thing for sure, they didn't set up the halal because it rhymes. It has to be a real reason for it. So why set it up this way? You're making the assumption, not like the Radak, which is fine, that the word base means family. So it's a family of Yisrael, a family of Aaron, and there's no such thing as a family by Yirei Hashem, because there might be a family of Yirei Hashem, but it doesn't have to be.
It has to do with your family, it has to do with you.
So one of the Achronim learns, it might be what you're saying, I didn't look at the way you're saying it, he said it a little differently. He was saying that the word base is it excludes somebody else. There's such a thing called, we're inside the house, and there's someone outside the house. When it comes to base Yisrael, he writes, base Yisrael means not going. The Yisrael is in a certain house. When it comes to base Aaron, the word is exclusivity. We're exclusive to what we are. That's Aaron, as opposed to somebody else. When it comes to Yerushalayim, similar to your saying, it could be anybody. There's no house that excludes anybody else. Because anybody has the right to walk into Yerushalayim. Now that's only going to answer why Yerushalayim gets its own separate phrase without the word bias. It doesn't also answer Ketanim Gedolim. A lot of the answers you have to work out. Again, go through the question we know it. We have to know what Yerushalayim is, as Rebelli said. Fine. Then once we know what Yerushalayim means, whatever that means now, we have to know why in two places it says bias and one place says Ketanim Gedolim, and are they interchangeable or not? And if they are, it has to work out that way. So according to what you're saying right now, which is good, you're saying that the word base is an exclusion of other people, exclusivity. It excludes somebody else. It makes sense to say the word base by Yisrael. Makes sense to say the word base by Aaron. Does not make sense to say base by Yirei Hashem. Okay, but then what does Ketanim Gedolim mean? What does Ketanim Gedolim mean if it's not exclusive? Again, whether base means Ketanim Gedolim or not, why couldn't it just say Yivarech Yirei Hashem? No reason that you're agreeing with you. I'm saying it's your answer. I want to make sure you understand why your answer is only answering some of the questions. A lot of the answer only going to answer some of the questions. You could explain well why the word base is not applicable to Yirei Hashem, but you cannot explain yet, unless you have another explanation added to what you're saying, why the word then says Ketanim Gedolim. And it doesn't even say what Ketanim Gedolim are, by the way. It still doesn't define what they are. Oh, L'shitascha, beautiful. So that's very good. Azriel L'shitascha, he's saying that Ketanim Gedolim is really going on all three before. It goes Beis Yisrael Ketanim Gedolim, Beis Aaron Ketanim Gedolim, Yirei Hashem Ketanim Gedolim. Ketanim Gedolim is on all three. By the way, why does two say base, one doesn't say base? Because he's talking lineage, but same idea. Exclusivity, you can only use the word base by the first two, by Beis Aaron, Beis Yisrael, makes sense, but you can use base by Yirei Hashem, and Ketanim Gedolim goes on all three. Very good. Shitaska is very good. You're taking two demands and it works in. So again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out why sometimes it says base, sometimes it doesn't, and we still don't know, even according to you, Israel, which is fine, you're not really defining why it says Kohen Gadol. You're explaining it that it fits and we're going from bottom to top. Base Yisrael is below base Aaron. Base Aaron is below Yerushalayim. Tanim is below Gadol. Fine. All good. All makes sense. The blocks fit in well, but I'm saying, why say it? Who cares? I'm saying, why would I assume not Kohen Gadol? Would I assume Beis Yisrael, when I say Yevorech, we're telling Kadosh Baruch give a bracha. Would I assume when Kadosh Baruch gives a bracha to the Beis Yisrael, he didn't automatically include Ketanam Gdolim? That's the, by the way, when I say Ketanam Gdolim, when I say Beis Yisrael, I meant Ketanam Gdolim. Beis Aaron gets a bracha. Yevorech is Beis Aaron. Okay, yeah, and by the way, it means Ketanam Gdolim. Okay, obviously, no. No extra words. Why would you have to then say Ketanam Gdolim? Possibly. Okay, so again, so the first things we're going to have to do is we have to know if the word, Radak says openly the word base is interchangeable with Ketanam Gdolim. Now he's not, again, we have to now explain why one will get base, one not. You explained well, half why they can get a base, but it wouldn't explain what a Ketanam Gdolim is. The Radak answers the question. And he says, interesting thing, he says that the only way to get Yerushalayim is when Ketanim follow Gedolim. That means if you want to get a stempel in your house that you're a Beis Yisrael, I don't know, whatever Beis Yisrael means, I guess it means you're born into it. It's a natural DNA. So you're wearing the yellow badge or not. Doesn't the yellow sticker, the yellow thing works automatically because you're Beis Yisrael. When it comes to Beis Aaron, okay, so whoever's Beis Aaron is born into Beis Aaron. You can be a Kohen, not be a Kohen, right? But when it comes to Yerushalayim, we want to tell you, by the way, how do you get to Yerushalayim? How do you get there? Beis Yisrael is natural. Beis Aaron is natural. How do you get to Yerushalayim? How do you get there? So it's giving you a directive. By the way, when it comes to Yerushalayim, the only way to get to Yerushalayim is Ketanim have to learn off the Gadol. It cannot be done on its own. That's what he seems to be saying. That means you think you can get to Yerushalayim on your own. That's not the way it normally works. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions to the rule. But overall, the only way that the Torah is not only telling us by the halal is not only telling us why it says Ketanim Gadolim as opposed to base, but it's telling you, by the way, I'm telling you why it says it, because you have to have a Ketanim Negrorim Achen Gadolim. So it has to follow too. The Rekech says a little bit similar also. Now he's more saying that the bracha is the Ketanim don't deserve the bracha. They get the bracha by following the Gadolim. Not as much, it's a minor difference. Both saying the Ketanim have to be im. They got to be schlepped along with the Gedolim. The bracha of the Ketanim are schlepped along to the Gedolim. Why are they schlepped along? Either they don't deserve a bracha. The Rekech seems to be saying they don't deserve the bracha. It's very cryptic words. And the Rekech is not talking about the bracha of it. He's saying, how do you get to it? How do you get to Yerushalayim? The only way to get there is by being a cotton who follows the Gedolim. And according to this approach, you either could define cotton by age, or you could define cotton in yira. You could say there's a Yerushalayim cotton and there's a Yerushalayim gadol. We believe there's levels in Yerushalayim. So a Yerushalayim cotton can become a gadol. How do you get there? Follow it through. I'm not saying you're wrong. It both would work, I think, right now. It could be what we kept on saying the last few weeks, that cotton and gadol can mean different things. It can mean age or it can mean status. I don't like the word status, but it's where the guy's holding. So there could be this Ketanim who are Yerushalayim Ketanim, not physically Ketanim. They're just not there yet. They're Ketanim in Yerushalayim, and they don't deserve a bracha, or they want to get better at it. So what they do is they're Nigrar, they follow along Imma Gedolim, they go along with the Gedolim in order to get the bracha. And the Gedolim could be, again, adults physically, or it could be, more likely, adults in Yerushalayim itself. So someone said that the bracha goes to Ketanim first, because the Ketanim deserve a bracha faster than Gedolim. Why? Two explanations given in this setup. Either Ketanim have, like you were saying, Hevel Piyam Shal Ketanim is Chashev. So a cotton has, when they do a mitzvah, it's more pure. They have no negative F. Like the Gemara says, the person said, I wish I would have two different mouths. One for kosher stuff, one for not kosher stuff, but it doesn't work out that way. So, but that means when a cotton who's not considered a balavarian, whatever he's doing as a young kid doesn't really count. So he has more pure. So the bracha comes, it's a different pshat. The bracha is coming from the Ketanim first because they create the bracha faster. One reason they create the bracha faster because they're more pure. The second, some want to say, which I think you see naturally in the world, is that when a katan is learning, or Yerushalayim, but they're going learning and Yerushalayim, it automatically has the biggest chus for a different reason. Because a gadol could sit by himself and learn. So when a gadol sits and learns, or Yerushalayim by himself, okay, so he has X amount of positive merits going on at that moment of time. But a cotton can't learn on his own. The only time a cotton's learning is when he's with a gadol. So because the cotton always needs somebody else, or he's causing somebody else to now help him out, so the ketanim, the youngsters, that would be physically more, the youngsters create a situation where they get more schar, and they get bracha first because there's more to go around. It's automatically at least two people, maybe three, maybe four people, because you need multiple people to teach a cotton. Now you do see in the world, a lot of times, not really cotton and gadol in age, but you see many times that people are holding where they are in life, spiritually. Let's say, we'll take an easy one, Daf Yomi. You have people who are busy working their whole life. They don't have that much time to learn. And then somehow they get lucky, or whatever the word is, and they have kids that are now becoming much more religious. And the kids will become more religious, they're learning much more. And they start now, as they're married, kids are getting married. They're like, okay, you know what? I'll start learning as well. So the Ketanim, doesn't mean this, because we're talking about Ketanim, little kids, but it's similar. The Ketanim bring along the Gedolim into the learning Shabbat. So sometimes you see that when it comes to certain aspects in life, of course, we're saying before, the Radak says, when it comes to Yerushamayim, the Ketanim have to learn how to have Yerushamayim from Gedolim. Yes. When it comes to Schusim, merits on how a bracha works, a cotton sometimes could create a situation where the bracha comes faster to a cotton and earlier to a cotton because they're creating more merits. The reason they're either creating more merits because they need a gadol to teach them, so automatically it's a chavrushav, whatever the word chavrushav means, but there's automatically two people learning as opposed to one person learning, or sometimes by the ketanim acting a certain way, the gadolim want to act a certain way as well. They're going to follow through on the gadol, on the ketanim. Going on the gang, the first assumption is that again the Yivarech Yirei Hashem is going Yerushamayim. Now we have to figure out why Yerushamayim doesn't have a bias, okay, or why Yerushamayim does have a Ketanim and a Gedolim. It's all good. But happens you have the Chumash Rashi, you have the Tilim Rashi. That happens to be that this. Why does it pick the words Yisrael, Aaron, and Yirei Hashem? I mean, does Aaron need a separate thing? So many of the Rishonim, the Rashbam, and others, they say it's going on the Pesukim before, which is not exactly a parallel. But the Pesukim before say they say Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem. Ezra Meginimu, that's Yisrael, doesn't say base over there, by the way. Base Aaron, Bitchub Hashem, Ezra Meginimu, these were right before. And then Yerush Hashem, Bitchub Hashem, Ezra Meginimu. So you have right before in the Psukim of Yisrael, Aaron, and Yerush Hashem the same way. But over there, Rashi says that, just show me. Rashi, but Yerush Hashem says something else over there. Rashi, without asking the question, is asking the question, I think. Rashi says, wait a second, you have Yisrael. You have Beis Aaron, so who's Yerush Hashem? Why would they not automatically be included in either Yisrael or Beis Aaron? Why not? Why are they not included? So we understand, right, once we have, after how it works, once we have three situations of Yisrael, Aaron, and Yerush Hashem, we can now have Israel saying, okay, these two make sense with a bias and these two don't. But I'm asking a different question, Israel. Why do I have to have Yerush Hashem at all? Wouldn't they not be included automatically? I'm giving out brachas, I'm giving out, it's automatic. Why have to start specifying brachas? The Rashi has a huge statement here, and it's a Rashi in two other places, by the way, in these words, on the words Yerushalayim, not, it's funny, it's the Rashi earlier, not later. Rashi says, who is Yerushalayim? Elu HaGerim. Converts. So that makes sense. Because when you say Beis Yisrael, especially the way Israel said it, that Beis Yisrael means genealogy. You're naturally born a certain way and everyone fits into the same house. Okay, guess who doesn't fit into that house? Gerim. They're not naturally born to the house. They're big schlossim, but they're not naturally born to the house. When you say Kahanim and you want to go into Kahanim, yeah, Kahanim are born into a special thing. Fine, very good. But when it comes to Yerush Hashem, they don't have anything. They don't have a house. The Yerush Hashem don't have a house. If like Rabbi Israel says, that the house represents a mishpacha, then the Yerush Hashem can't get a bias. They can't get a bias. One of the Rishonim says this, that even a step further, he says, unbelievable. He says, when it comes to Yerush Shemayim, I would never say such a thing. When it comes to Yerush Shemayim, Yerush Shemayim afilu me'amim is part of this bracha. I mean, I would never assume that that's what the pasuk meant. Yevarech Yirei Hashem means even goyim. Goyim or Yerush Shemayim, you have to get to that level somehow. But it means that there's no such thing as a bias at this point. You can't put them into one group because the Gerim are getting, as much as they don't mind getting a bracha with the other goyim that are Yerush Shemayim, that's not called the same place. So you can't have a bias because of multiple reasons. Either the house, the genealogy, the lineage of the converts are not included into this house automatically, because not all of them are Yerush Shemayim. So if I would say in the pasuk that Yevarech Beis Yirei Hashem, and we're going to say Yirei Hashem now means according to Rashi, literally, it's, I mean, we have it in two different paragraphs, but really it's the same stanza. If you would say Beis Yirei Hashem, you might now make the mistake of assuming that Beis Yirei Hashem means even the goyish from that mishpacha of the ger, because we're saying Yirei Hashem means ger. So we say no, we can't say the word Beis because it does not mean the ger. It happens to be a fascinating thing, and some learner from these psukim. The fascinating thing is that we know that the Gemara says that Beis Levi, the Rambam says at the end of Shemitah Yovel, that Beis Levi always considered the Biktim of the Chum. Who are the Biktim of the Chum? In Gil Sest, it's going to come up soon if we get there. It's only about 10 psukim later, so what do you figure? Next week? No, not next week. But it says the Bnei Yisoschar. The Bnei Yisoschar considered always the calculators of the Zmanim and all of that, and the Beis Levi. And the Shoyel Lameshev, unbelievable, the Shoyel Lameshev is Zagdoma. Shoyel Lameshev was a giant. And in his introduction to his Sefer, he writes that Be'etzem, like typical of a Goyin, you read the Shoyel Lameshev's history. He He was no slouch. I'm saying he didn't come out of nowhere. His uncle was great. His father was great. His grandfather. It's dynasty brains when he was 1 year old already. And the Sholem Eishev writes in the beginning, Be'etzim, who am I to write a sefer? And the Sholem Eishev, we have in the back of some of them, the Sholem Eishev were one of the most prolific writers in the history of Klai Yisrael, by the way. The amount of stuff that he produced is just so unbelievable, right? With no computers. And he writes over there that people come to me for Shilas, Vosepis, I can't. And he writes in the introduction to a sefer, he said, Be'etzim, I have no right to pass in Shilas. Who am I? Who am I? He said, but I'll tell you, I have one thing going for me. I have the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Yivarach Hashem as base Aram. What does it mean, Yivarach Hashem as base Aram? He says, when you look around, that the Rambam writes that the Torah was given to Sheva Levi, you look around, he said, almost all the poiskim throughout the generations were Kahanim Levim. And he says, me, I'm also from the house of Levi. And therefore, I'm just going to write over my Torah and halacha psuka. Why? Because I'm relying on the fact. And he starts going through, the Shach was a Koyan, the Taz was a Koyan, the Sma. He goes through all the names, the Ktsois. He goes through all the famous Svarim, a lot of them on the halacha. So it's on Chash Mishmah. You go through all the Noisei Kalev, as they say of the Shulchan Aruch, and almost all Kahanim Levim. So the Sholem Eishev says that this special bracha, to answer Judd's question of why does the base Aaron get a special bracha, because on some level, they are on a different situation than the rest of us. The base Yisrael is a general klal.
Right.
Now, the Rambam, as famous, I just quoted the Rambam here, the Rambam, when he writes the end of Shemitah Yovel, that the Levim sit and learn, and we have to support them, and all the Cheshbonis, the Rambam adds on, that just I say base Levi, that's a normal thing, but Avada, someone outside of base Levi, who decides to join that system, decides to be a massive Talmud Chacham, decides to sit and learn, Klai Yisrael has the same chiyuv on them. It works out. It happens to be Cheshbon, if you make the Cheshbon, by the way, the Mishmaris of the Kahanim were divided by 24. 24 Mishmaris. It changed over time in the Gemara Tainus, but basically when the Beis Mikdash was around, there were 24 Mishmaris. It means all the groups of the Kahanim were divided into 24 groups. And each one gets to serve 1 week in the Beis Mikdash. 1 week in the Beis Mikdash. And then within the 1 week, it's divided again. Machlokes is if it's divided 6 or 7, but okay, irrelevant for now. But either way, you could only be in the Beis Mikdash for 1 week, possibly. And within the week, it might only be 1 day. And you get that what? 24, basic math, 2 times and a brekala, more than 2 times a year. Which is possible to say, that this Kayan is twice a year serving the Beis Hamikdash. The whole year, he serves 2 days a year. And because of that, the Rambam writes that because he's Avodas Kodesh, he's Kli Kodesh, and all of this type of stuff, the Rambam writes he has to get supported. So when you look at a person who says, all right, why am I supporting this guy? He doesn't learn that much. I don't know, what does the Kayan do? Kayan got 2 days a year. Because he was Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash for 2 times a year, he got full support the whole year. Not just him, the whole tribe. For every one of the tribe, for each one of them only showing up 2 days a year. Again, once in a while I have 3. But basically 2 days a year. So there is a concept to have Yivarach as Beis Yisrael. That's the whole general Klai Yisrael. Then we have the second step of Yivarach as Beis Aaron, which we're now saying the Sholem Eishev says it, and they have a special job title that they once every 24 weeks have to go into the Beis Midrash, they get a special thing. And now Yivarach as Yirei Hashem was saying, why? These are people that would not necessarily be included in Beis Yisrael. They came later to the game. They were on their own. They converted us. Rashi says they were Gerim. When we have Yivarach as Yirei Hashem, meaning converts, we understand also why you can't use the word bias. Because the bias of a convert depends on where he lives. It's not. And by the way, also what Brazil is saying, there's no exclusivity on a convert. We don't promote it. We don't go around begging people to join us, but anyone who wants to convert, we allow in. So we can't have the word bias. The first answer why we can't have bias by Gerim is because it includes Goyim. Some of the Mishpacha didn't make the move yet. The second answer why we can't have bias by the Gerim, is because that would imply exclusivity, as we said before. And we don't believe in exclusivity when it comes to Yerushalayim and Gerim. Anyone who's going to go through the process can become a Ger. So there's no exclusivity, therefore we don't use the word bias. What about the words? That only answers, again, we have to always remember all the questions we have in front of us. What about the word, why it says Tanam Gdolim? Why Tanam Gdolim? You could just say, Yerush Hashem. So that's a chiddush narrative to say now. According to some, they want to say this. That we have 2 ways people convert. Most of the time, people convert is with their own das. They come forward, we push them away. We tell them, don't do this, it's not a good idea. And they persist and they're insistent and they become gerim. Okay. What's that guy's becoming a ger and you have a bunch of kids with him? What do we do with the kids? So we go through one of the toughest sugyas in Sha'as and Ksuvas. It's called Ger Katan. What happens with a Ger Katan? He doesn't have the ability to say, Ich bin a Ger, because no one under the age of 13 or 12 has any das to say anything. So let's say a 9-year-old kid says, I want to be a Jew. Okay, Shkoyach, it doesn't mean anything. Even if we believe you, it doesn't do anything. You don't have the mechanism to make it happen. The same way a 6-year-old can't make a sale on a house. Why can't he sell a house? Because there's no such thing. There's no mechanism. You have to be a certain age to be able to have certain things happen to you. A 6-year-old is Makadosh a girl. They're not married. Not at all. No Shkoyach. It's not married. There's nothing happens because you need a mechanism. Among the mechanism is an age. What do you do with a little kid? So the basic process is that they take a kid with the Bezdin, and the Bezdin goes through the process with the mikvah, and it's like quasi-Jewish at this point in time. It's not really Jewish yet. And we wait till the kid grows up to become 13 years old or 12 years old, and then it's a one-second decision on your life. They call the kid in, and they tell him, by the way, you should know, you think you were Jewish, but you really weren't Jewish because you didn't do a real conversion. You didn't do a real conversion because you were 6 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. It doesn't make a difference. You weren't 13. Right now, you could decide, in hindsight, what you want to do about this whole situation. Garrett Cotton. But it means, and by the way, if the kid says, I don't like this idea too much, tell my parents, shkoyach, but no thanks.
No, that's what my Rabbi Lewin told me.
It happens.
By 13 years old,
right?
They come, they say, do you still want to be again? And he could say, no, I don't want to.
And if he says no, time is nothing. So in this quasi state, for X amount of years, the kid's nowhere. So you could say, wouldn't be such a vildazach to say, that when it comes to Yiras Hashem, which Rabbi Eli pointed out, Yiras Hashem means Geirim, and we're giving a special bracha to Geirim. Okay, so what type of game does that mean? I'll tell you, there's a pasuk. Now, sorry, but it's a pasuk and tell him. Who gets the bracha? You know who gets the bracha? A guy who's 100% Jew. A guy who's 100% Yerushem. Yerushem means ger. A guy who's 100% ger gets a bracha. But the Tanim? No, why would I give them a bracha? When they turn 13 and they go through the process, they agree to the whole situation. I have no problem with that. But up until now, I'm not giving a bracha. So to explain, we are explaining why when it comes to ger, we don't say the word bias. Okay, we understood that. No genetics. And also, we don't want to have exclusivity. Okay, why are we saying Tanim Gailim? Massive chiddush now. This is the biggest chiddush of all time. That the Tanim who are not real Yidden, they're also included in the bracha. For whatever reason, we're going to do. It's a bechiddush, right? I mean, I don't know if it's such a chiddush to get the bracha. I don't know if it's a chiddush to get the bracha. Let me maybe be clear what I'm saying. I think you, without the pasuk, you would not include ketanim. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe they should be, but I'd say no. Like, I have no problem. Someone come and say, you know what? When it comes to the bracha, I don't include these ketanim. They're not real Jews. They're not gerim. If it says I'm giving you varach yirei Hashem, I'm giving a bracha to the gerim. They're not a ger. Not yet. They'll be a ger if they decide to choose to join in at 13 years old. Until now, they're not a ger. Why should they get a bracha? So the Torah has to specify, by the way, by a ger cotton. They're included in the bracha. That's a bechiddush now. Not only why we don't say bias, but we do say ketanim and gadol. In fact, the mechazchidach has a shaila. That what happens? The fascinating Rama. I think we discussed it once before. Rama says, Yoytza pruvu with a cherish shoyte v'kotten. Cherish is a mentally deficient situation. It's chiddush. Yeah. A guy has a mental deficient kid. Counts for pruvu. Shoyte, the same thing. Well, maybe not. Maybe shoyte doesn't count for pruvu. Yeah, it counts also. And then it says a cotton. So the question becomes, what do you mean a cotton? Why would a cotton not count? Everyone, guess what? Everyone in this room, big news. You were all born a cotton. Everyone who came out at the same. 1 second old. The father's yoytze mitzvah to the cotton. Well, when else would he be yoytze mitzvah? Not as a cotton. You have to have a boy and a girl. So the Rama says you count a child when they become a cotton. But if you look closely at the Mefarshim, they take out the word cotton. They say it's not, of course, it's pashas. You don't even need it. Who needs the word cotton? Of course, you guys with a cotton. Every kid's a cotton. What do you mean? Chayr is shaytif and cotton. You guys with a cotton.
When the child is a cotton, the chazaka is going to become a cotton. What happens if he doesn't?
Any child, God forbid, even a gadol passed away, the guy loses the rights. In order to have children, the Gemara in Yevamah says, the children have to be alive. If a guy is a 17-year-old kid who passed away, he only had a boy and a girl, God forbid, and the boy passed away, he's no longer Mekayim the Mitzvah. He has to start over. I don't know whatever that means, but he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. At any age, live kid, yes, passed away, predeceased to parents, does not count for approval. So what's a cotton? Of course a cotton counts. So the Mechassinuch wants to say, possibly, really me, I suffer, the Mechassinuch wants to say a bichadish, that normally when a cotton comes out, what Rabbi Gil said, the average cotton, the assumption is they're going to live a normal life. So when the kitten comes out, you go bus a roiv. The roiv is that the kid's okay. So and the kid comes out, a boy and a girl is okay. But the roiv only works in certain cases. What about a case where a guy is Megayer? This is an open shaila halacha. If a ger is Megayer, he converts now with a bunch of kids. What happens with these kids? So the halacha is a ger who converts with his goyish kids. Meshpacha comes forward. The halacha is that they count for peruvu. They were born goyim. Could be. I don't know which parts. They come as goyim, they go, then they're still goyim, right? But let's say now the kasha is going to be about Minchas Chinuch. If the guy is Megayer with a cotton dick a goyim. Now what happens with this guy here? On one hand, of every Jew has a kid, we assume what? We assume chazaka that this kid's going to grow up and be a normal kid. And the Michas Chinuch says, if God forbid at 13 years old, the kid seems to be a sterile child, then at that point, the father has to redo the mitzvah. Means you need, in order to be yoytzer mitzvah approval, you need a child that can produce a child. Not that he does yet. He needs the possibility. God forbid a kid is born and we know that he's medically unhealthy. He's like Rivka and Emenu in the beginning, the Akar V'Akara, then the kid does not count. And we assume every kid at one day old counts. Because every kid, we assume Basaroyev is going to be a normal kid. But when a guy reaches 13 and he doesn't show signs of a godless, or a girl reaches 12, doesn't show a godless, and now we're mesupik, is this kid a regular kid or not? Mechasinuch writes, you have to start over now. At 12, just like a kid Nebuch who passed away, the kid reaches 12 years old, now we don't know it, gotta start over, unless the kid then shows a sign of godless. Now what about the Gerrit Cotton? So when the kid's being Megar, now what? He's 6 years old. His parents came forward and they said, okay, we're being Megar. The Rambam says, halacha is you count the kids. The Rambam doesn't specify the age of the kid. It could be the Rambam's talking about when an adult guy converts with adult children. Because the adult children who convert are what? Real Gerim. Because when you're 13 years old, you convert, you are a real 100% Gerim. But a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old can't convert. So what happens when a father converts with a 6-year-old? That's a general kash on Gerim. But in the meantime, we allow it. Whatever the reason is, the Gemara says, a guy who's Megayer with his kids counts even though they're not technically related. But for Pruvu, it works. But you have to have a kid that what? Let's say the kid converted at 6 years old. We know, like you just said, Heshi said, that at 12 years old, 13 years old, the kid could say, Shkayach v'no Shkayach. So what happens now? Do you count the kid yet or not? Do you go bust at a roif? That means like this. On a regular child who's born, what we worried about, we're only worried about if the kid will be physically healthy enough to be able to produce children. 99% of the kids, Baruch Hashem, capable of producing children. So 99% of the kids, when it says when the Rama writes Cherish Shoytev a cotton, Avada, cotton could be Yotzer Mitzvah. Because a cotton, we assume 99% is going to be a normal kid. Fine. 99% at 12 years old, 13 years old, he's a Gadol, continue the game. God forbid not, we start over. But do we say that there's a chazaka on a roiv, on a child saying yes at 13 years old, I'm going to stay Jewish? A ger, that now he's not Jewish right now. This kid's not Jewish, which means he has no chazaka, no roiv. We don't believe in this stuff. We only count, and we discuss many times it. All of these halacha moshe b'sinez only count on yid, not on goyim. Goyim don't have these things. So this kid, what is this kid till he's 13? He's technically, I don't know what he is. He's half-half, right? So anyway, so the question, during that time, will you count that kid for peruvu? Of course, if he converts to 13, you're going to count. That's a Rambam. What about between the ages of 0 and 13? But either way, back to us now. Let's go back to us. We took a real side road there. Back to us. The reason why I would have to say, Haktanim Magdolim, when it comes to Yerushamayim, if Yerushamayim means, like Rabeli said, Yerushamayim means a ger, makes a lot of sense. You know, I need a ger? Because if on a ger, I would not know that a ger cotton can get a brach at all. Mechtesa. He's not, we don't know what he is. At 13 years old, the guy can go to decide the Zayga bench. If he decides Zayga bench, what are you going to get a bracha for? So the Pasuk has to stress the concept of Tanim and Dolim by the Yerushamayim Dafka. Not by Beis Yisrael, not by Beis Yisrael, but Dafka over here, in order to tell us that he's going to be included in the bracha. We'll end it here.